I want us to think from the Bible for a few moments this Christmas Day morning about this great fact of Christmas time, that although our society is trying to sideline this fact, the center fact of the Bible is that what we are celebrating this morning is something about God, something that God has done, something that starts with God, a son sent by God the Father. Christmas in the Bible has no meaning if you try to extract God out from it. We have a secular British society that is trying to celebrate Christmas without God. There is a New Age type of meaning of Christmas time, but again, God is pushed out. But a historically true meaning, a biblical meaning, centers on the fact of what God has done. And I would like to challenge you this morning to say that your Christmas day really has no true meaning unless God is at the center of your life and thought. Because Christmas is about the creator of the universe, one who was not himself part of the universe, but the creator coming himself in the person of his son, coming into the world that he had made. And what makes that fact even more remarkable is that he came into a world in rebellion against him. The Son of the God coming into the world in order to save those who are in rebellion. One of the clearest statements in all the Bible, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, tells us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Which is why that hymn we've just sung is a great hymn, because it traces from the manger through to the cross the meaning of Jesus coming into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, says the Bible. That means people like you and me. So Christmas is about something God did in history. It has to do with the way you this morning can relate to this eternal God, the God who is eternal, who has no beginning, no end. His name is I Am Who I Am, we are told. But how do we relate to this God? How can we come to him? How can we know him? So Luke tells us something about who it is that came into this world and what God coming into this world in the person of his son, what he came to accomplish. So I want to think about that with you for a few moments this Christmas Day morning, the how and the who, and answering also the question, so what? What difference does it make for you and me this morning that God came into this world in the person of his son? So let's ask first of all, how? How did God come into this world? And Luke tells us God came into this world by doing the impossible. Mary was told, with God, nothing will be impossible. There's the bottom line answer for how God can become man. With all our objections and all the mystery, this truth remains, says Luke. With God, nothing will be impossible. And God had been preparing the world for this impossibility for thousands of years. Listen to these testimonies from the Bible, that God can do the impossible. Genesis 18 verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Job chapter 42 verse 2, I know that the Lord can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. And then the time came for the most impossible thing to be done. God entered this world without ceasing to be the uncreated God. Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. And Mary is told, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And Mary asks, how can this be since I do not know a man? Mary was betrothed. She was not yet married. Joseph and Mary had not yet come together. This was something God does, says Luke. God's way of entering this world, that his son would be conceived in the womb of a virgin. And why did he do it this way? The clearest answer is in verse 35 in Luke chapter 1, where the angel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." That God chose to be conceived in his son in the womb of a virgin. So the fatherhood of this child, the child we've been singing about this morning, absolutely unique. The Son of God, not the son of Joseph. He is a divine father, not a biological human father. He is divine as God's son and human as Mary's son. Yes, Joseph was of the lineage of David. Mary was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, we are told. And for 2,000 years, since the days of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God had been preparing for this impossible day. Promise after promise pointing to the day when the son of David would come, a king, one who would sit on the throne of David. "Then shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." Jesse was David's father. "One will come from that line. A branch shall grow out of his roots." And in case there's any doubt about who that person is, in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ takes his scepter, his royal scepter, and declares, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, "I, Jesus, am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." God breaking into human history. A human being, a man, but also the Son of God. So that all the world would glorify God for his truthfulness, and all the nations glorify God for his mercy and grace in the sending of his Son. He came as the Son of David. Jesus came as the Son of David and as the Son of God to fulfill every promise that God had made to send a rescuer into this world. So when Mary asked, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" One of the most important statements that's ever been made in any book in all the world. You ask how, Mary? Here's how. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." God with impossibility working power, the power of the highest, will take the place of a human father, and under the shadow of his wing, pure, virtuous, holy, unseen, mysterious, Mary would become pregnant. The one to be born to her would be the Son of God. So Luke, a medical man, tells us about how the infinite God came into this world. He says God came into the world by doing the impossible, by choosing to come into this world through a virgin, by choosing a legal human father who would be an heir of King David, but would send his Holy Spirit with divine power to the Virgin Mary. So when we ask, so what? Who is it that came into the world? God came into the world. What difference does this make to you? Who came into this world? That's how God came, but who came? This king who is very God of very God, that's who came, says Luke. "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." We are told this is a king who's born. Yes, he's lying in a manger. But there are words that tell us this is a king. "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Who sits on a throne? A king. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." What does it mean to reign? He will reign, he will control and rule over. He will reign, and of his kingdom, who has a kingdom? A king has a kingdom. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. And then Luke says, exactly as God had declared, all the prophecies fulfilled, all the announcements fulfilled, exactly as God had declared, so it was that while Mary and Joseph were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she was brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What kind of king is he? What kind of king is Jesus Christ? What difference does his kingship make to you this morning? Well, again, there are words in our Bible reading this morning which help us to understand who it is that came and what difference it should make, and that your life and your joy and your eternal destiny are best served by trusting in this Saviour King, by coming under his sway this morning, by submitting your life, by entrusting your life to King Jesus. Because unlike us, the child who is born is holy, says Luke. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary was told, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Holy means pure, good, without any defect or deficiency or blemish. And that word of hope for us this morning, that Jesus is holy, means that here's one who is able to die as the Holy Lamb of God in our place, as our substitute and for our sins. He is the Saviour of the lost. He's a holy king, says Luke. Unholy kings create the need for democracy. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. But a perfectly holy king will rule in perfect peace and justice and equity. Jesus Christ, the King, who is holy. We need a holy substitute because we are unholy. But Jesus, the Holy One, no trace of sin in him at all. And what power does he have? Mary is told, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of the Highest, Mary had been told. God becoming a man, the king who comes into the world, is not just king of Israel as the son of David. He is king of kings and lord of lords. To have this king as your saviour king this morning is to come under the protection of one who has infinite grace and power. If you trust in him, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life. He's holy. He's the Son of God. He's called Jesus. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, Mary was told. Matthew tells us that Mary and Joseph were told, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The King of the universe is given the name Saviour. Thank God this morning, not the Saviour of the righteous, not the Saviour of the religious, not the Saviour of the respectable, but a Saviour of sinners like you and me. That's the Saviour we need. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So all his holiness, all his deity, all his power stand in the service of his saving mercy and grace. That God broke into the universe to be a holy, divine, saving King. Holy Son of God, Jesus, forever. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here is a king who will never be replaced. This year the queen died and was replaced by a new king. But this king will never be replaced, says the Bible. There'll never be a successor who will sit on the throne of Jesus. His kingdom shall never end. His salvation and protection are forever if you trust in him. Who is it that came into the world? Jesus the King, holy, Son of God. The one who rules and reigns forever. Jesus the Saviour, who saves his people from their sins. And this king commissions preachers of the gospel like me to declare on this Christmas Day 2023 that there is an amnesty for you. If you have previously rejected this King, there is an amnesty for you this morning. You can come to this King. Before he sat down on the throne of the universe, Jesus Christ died for the sins of all who put their trust in him, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if you lay down your arms of rebellion and you receive the forgiveness and mercy of this King, you trust in this Jesus, this holy, divine, Saviour King, you will know this Christmas joy of forgiveness of sins and peace with God. And you can receive that gift. This is a happy day of Christmas Day where people give and receive gifts. But here's the greatest gift of all, says the Bible. This unspeakable gift, a gift that cannot be adequately put into words. Forgiveness of sins and peace with God, if you trust in this Saviour King. Some people have already asked me in the new year if they can study the Bible with me a little more. And I'll use this book called Christianity Explained to really get to the heart of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to trust in this Saviour King. So if you want to join with some others and think about this some more in the new year, have a word with me at the end of the service or get in touch on email or through the church website. And some people will be studying the Bible. Who is Jesus? Why did he die on the cross? Did he really rise from the dead? What is grace? What is repentance? What is faith? Those questions at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. So if you want to join, please have a word with me. One or two others have asked about baptism in the new year. Well, here's another book that I sometimes use with people who ask about baptism. Believe and be baptized, it says. And if you want to talk with me about that, or study with me and go through this booklet, what it means to believe and why Christians then confess that in baptism, you can join a group that will be looking at that in the new year too. But thanks be to God, if you're a Christian this morning, thanking God for the joy of forgiveness of sins and peace with God. You thank God, thanks be to God, you say, for this unspeakable gift. And if you've not yet received him, today there is a day of hope for all who will receive him to come to know this Saviour King. So let's pray together. Lord, we worship and praise you this morning for this unspeakable gift, this great gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world for our salvation. It is an amazing fact, this mystery, that God chose himself to do the impossible, coming into this world in the person of his own Son, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, very God of very God, and yet true man of true man. And, O Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for this God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He had no biological human father, but conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God working in impossible working power to bring salvation to lost, sinful people like us. And we worship and we praise, we honour Jesus Christ this morning as we come together. And we ask that you'll receive our thankfulness and praise. And we pray, Lord, for the spread of the gospel here in this congregation, in North London, in this city, in our nation and in the nations of the world. Oh, Lord, how we long to see Jesus' kingdom advance and come with glorious power. We look to that great day when Jesus Christ shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. But until that great day, O Lord, we pray, sway your glorious scepter and bring many out of sin's darkness and night into the glorious light and day of the kingdom of God. Have mercy, Lord, upon those who are particularly troubled today. May they know comfort and peace in believing upon Jesus Christ, a peace in the heart that this world cannot give, but a peace that comes to us only through faith in the Son of God, who loved us, gave himself for us, and who is the King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, our mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ, accept our praise. We want to thank you with all our hearts. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn together. It's a hymn we've sung a couple of times through the Christmas time. I like this hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let me just read to you and remind you. The last verse of this hymn has also got a challenge to it. 211. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin, enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, a Christian can say, come to me. Abide with me, stay with me. Be my Lord, be my Saviour, our Lord Emmanuel. So we'll stand to sing 211, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you this Christmas day and even forevermore, world without end. Amen.